Ephesians chapter 4, and we've been on this subject of a healthy church for some time now, and
I have done copious amounts of reading and studying. You like that word, copious? I don't know what it means, but it sounds good.
Lots.
Lots. Recently, in my copious reading, I like that word. It's that kind of makes me sound intelligent. I came across a definition of a healthy church. I thought I'd share it with you. I actually made a slide out of it, and I sent it to Chris. And this is it. A healthy church is characterized by a vibrant community focused on Jesus, where people grow spiritually, serve others, and are committed to spread the gospel, all while fostering genuine relationships and prioritizing prayer. I don't know about you, but I like that definition. And as I I don't even remember where I read it now, to be perfectly honest. I read it and I thought, man, I want to share this with the church. It is so important that we get a glimpse of what a healthy church looks like, because I believe personally that our church is healthy. But what do you want to do with a healthy body?
Keep it healthy.
Keep it healthy. Yeah. There you go. And the best way to do that is by preventative care, if you would. We have been talking about a lot of different subjects, and last week we started a subject is, I don't, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, well, stop it. I hate electronics. Stop it. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is the 9th subject of responsibility, the New Testament responsibilities of the church. And number 9, we started last week. We didn't get very deep into it, so we're going to jump right into it tonight. And that is give to the Lord's work, giving to the Lord's work. And I said it last night, and I'll say it again last week. I'll say it again tonight. This is a subject that I don't like talking about, because when you the minute you say giving to the Lord's work, what do people think?
Money.
And that's what everybody's mind goes to. But as we talked about last week, there are actually 3 ways that we should give to God: our time, our treasures, and our talents. And those are 3 things that are vitally important. And we started last week talking about how can we give our time to God. I don't remember everybody's answers, but so let's talk about this for just a minute. How can we give time to God? Go to church is a big one. Okay. Serve in the church. An example is this. This morning, how many kids did they have in nursery?
Nine
babies in the nursery.
And
there were scheduled 2 workers. And my understanding, if I'm not wrong, is that two young ladies jumped in and helped.
Yes.
That is incredible. And that is what this is talking about. Being willing to say, you know what? Hey, let me help. There are just so many ways that we can serve the Lord. Anybody else?
Spend time with Him.
Okay, just spend time with Him. And I talked about it this morning. Time in the Word, time in prayer, just time alone.
It's like how she was saying, somebody calls you, it may be Sunday morning, but they need and in the Lord's love you help.
Right.
Whether it's Sunday morning, Wednesday morning, in the middle of the night, in if your heart's right, that's serving the Lord.
Right. Well, what does Jesus say? If you do it unto the least of these, you've done unto me. And so it is so important. And for whatever reason, we tend to think that giving time has to be at church. And that's not true. We can give our time for God with our neighbors, with our family members, with, I mean, we could go on and on and on. There are many ways that we can give to God our time. Anybody else before we move on to the next one? Yes.
Well, I didn't actually know I was good at cutting hair until I started cutting all my family members' hairs. Because Brandon and Larry's hair grow really fast, so it's like a once-month thing. So I got a lot of practice quickly. Mm-hmm. And I do, like, if there's somebody that posts on Chit-Chat, hey, I need this elderly person's haircut, I'll offer it to them. Or I cut their hair. Like, it may not be perfect, but it gets the job done.
Hey, it grows back. It's pretty easy. Right. Amen. Yes. There you go. There you go.
And whatsoever you can do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men.
Right.
And because there's some people who like have very heavy work schedules and work almost every day of the week and are worn out, but I think what those people can give, and I would at least partially fall in that category, is regarding what you're doing is for God.
Right. Yeah, and that is absolutely very, very critical. Very critical. Yes.
I have a friend who is, you guys actually met him one time. He came to church like a couple of years ago. He was a really, really tall guy that got mixed up for Zeke. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
He is currently doing missionary work in North and South Carolina, kind of traveling around. And we keep tabs and we talk every now and then. And I remember feeling so, like, it would be so cool to be a part of that and to be able to give my time. I mean, he's full-time just out there serving. But I really, the last couple of years have really come to an understanding that, like, some of us, our calling and our time is spent in the home with our own children because
right.
those children are the most important task, the most important thing that I have been given in my
right.
life to take care of and to train and to lead. And so I think sometimes, you know, we do get to do some service projects and stuff, but some families, sometimes people can only spend their time taking care of the kids that they have or the home that they have or, you know, a smaller circle for this time in their life, and that's okay too.
Amen. 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 Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And then the other thing that is that Chris, I'm sorry if he's going to hate me, but Chris is here all the time.
All the time.
It seems like it. He shows up early every Sunday morning. He's here at least an hour before church starts.
Yes.
He also works 12 hours on Saturday, 12 and a half hours, gets off work, and I know he's beat. It's Friday, and he comes to church Saturday night, and he plays the church.
Right. Right.
So that right there, he's serving the Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, and it's not just Chris. I mean, Chris does. Let me say this. You know, Chris and the soundboard people, they do so much. We had a technical glitch. 2 weeks ago. The TV started acting up. Was it anyway? he took his day off to come down and troubleshoot it so that he could figure out what was going on with it. You know, and it's not just Chris. We have other people that you just have no idea what they do. I get the credit a lot of times, and I feel so guilty because I feel like I do so little. But because there are so many people behind the scenes doing so much more. But we can serve the Lord raising our kids. We can serve the Lord cleaning our toilets here, running the soundboard, making coffee. Where's Angie? There she is, making coffee. You know, she comes, you get here a good hour before the service,
about
right?
9:30.
You know, and, you know, to get the coffee ready for everybody. And honestly, when's the last time you thanked her? When's the last time you walked by Chris and said, hey, I appreciate all you do? You know, we don't. We take it for granted. Why? Because we don't always even know they do it.
It's just done.
It's just done, right. Right.
And so, and in the nursery handbook, that's one of the things I mentioned in there, is our heart attitude when we serve in the nursery or serve anywhere, if it's for him, then that's giving of our time. But when we go in there with a grumpy attitude, oh, I got to serve in there, I got to change diapers and put up with it again, we may as well not do it, because
right.
that attitude is not as unto the Lord.
Right.
That's the scripture.
Right. Good, good conversation. Anybody else?
We can also serve by helping a stranger.
Absolutely. Giving them a homeless bag or a blessing bag, excuse me.
Or helping an elderly person getting groceries into their car or something like that.
Amen. Yeah. Did you have your hand up? Okay. All right. Okay. So the next part of this, so we've talked about time. The next part of this is our treasures. I should have had Lawrence, who's our treasurer, teach this part. I didn't even think about it till just now. Aren't you glad I didn't think about that? Although he has taught on money, and he's very, very wise when it comes to our finances, and he keeps a really tight rein on our finances here at the church. But but let's talk about our treasures. Is it just money?
No. Our talents too.
Well, we're getting to talents. That's the third T.
Treasures are anything we own, right?
Anything we own.
Like when you tow a trailer in
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not just your time. You're your treasures.
That's right. That's right. You know, how many of you think that you own your vehicle?
Right.
Yeah, well, even if you have the title, do you really own it?
No.
It's all God's.
Because it's his. Mm-hmm. And he can take out that vehicle like that.
Or preserve it.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, I've driven some pretty raggedy vehicles through the years that I know the only reason that it started every time I needed it to start was God.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
I think one of the greatest treasures I have is my family.
Yes.
And from the time when Ron and I were teaching, we would have people in, students in, that we knew needed just to be around family and see what we hope a godly relationship and a godly, you know, relationship was with not just between us, but with our kids.
Right.
And how we interacted with them. And then I love having them all come to church and being able to share with y'all. So, yeah. I think that's one way.
Okay, all right. So, but we're talking about giving here, and you brought up a good point. Whose kids are they? They're not yours.
I was talking about my treasures.
Well, but it's, but still, your treasures.
It's still his.
They're still his. And, you know, Darlene said one of the most important things in this season of life for her is to raise those kids. But are they your kids? No, they're not.
Well, and with Kip getting ready to, what he has is a heart to serve. And so even though I'm going to miss him, he needs to, you know, that's God's calling on his life. So,
how many of you remember in the Old Testament, what was it, Hannah?
Mm-hmm.
With Samuel? What did she do? She said, "God, if you give me this child, I not only will I give it to you, but I will make sure that he serves you the rest of his life." And he was a what do you call it? They don't cut their hair.
Nazarene.
A Nazarite. He was a Nazarite. And she just walked up to Eli one day and said, "Here he is. Could you do that with your probably 4 or 5-year-old? But see, she understood that he was a gift from God and that he gave him back to God. See, and our treasures, again, when, you know, because of our, I don't know if it's our society or what, but when we start talking about, okay, well, time, treasures and our talents and our treasures, you know, okay, yeah, he's going to hammer down on money. And really, please don't understand my heart. Money is the last thing on my mind right now. But I have to talk about it because it's part of what we give back to God. I came across something back several weeks ago, and I copied it down for us, and I wanted to read it to you because anyway, let me just read it. The Bible, both Old and New Testament, has a lot to say about giving. So pastors should not avoid the topic of giving or tithing. Unfortunately, I do sometimes, but that's just who I am. But the pressure put on pastors to encourage giving has resulted in many abuses and misinterpretations of what the Bible says about tithing. Some churches have walls that annually picture the previous year's top givers. I'm serious. Yes. Some churches have walls that annually picture the previous year's top givers. Some churches require members to provide the church with a copy of their tax return so the church can verify 10% giving was achieved. I'm serious.
Those are the people who own slaves, right?
Probably.
Those are the Mormons.
Yeah, I was going to say the Mormons do that. But there are churches, you know, there are quote-unquote Christian churches that do that. Some preachers emphasize that tithing to the extent that it becomes a legalistic requirement for salvation. Some pastors are quick to pronounce any financial difficulties as evidence of lack of tithing.
Yeah.
Chances are, if there are financial difficulties within the church, it's because the pastor mismanaged the funds, usually.
In those kind of churches,
yes. Someone sent me, and Jan showed it to me again, There was a pastor who, how much money did he raise?
$56,000.
How much?
$56,000.
He wanted $56,000, so he ordered his ushers to lock the doors, and the people in the church couldn't leave until they raised the money. And then he was arrested for kidnapping. Yeah, I mean it's bizarre. It's bizarre what's out there. Okay. So when the unsaved people in our world look at churches, oftentimes, what do they see? They see those people, and they say, "I don't want anything to do with that." Let me continue reading. Most churches demonstrate at least encourage or demonstrate. Most churches demonstrations at least encouraging tithing in some sense. 10% seems to have been adopted by the Christian church as a standard of giving, which is true. Okay. I have known people that will tithe to the penny. Is that cheerful giving? No, it's not. It's just, yeah, those are scared givers. God doesn't want scared givers. He wants cheerful givers. Okay? Let me continue reading here. Most who propose tithing do so based on Old Testament law. However, if Old Testament law is the standard, so be careful if you quote this, 10% is not correct, is not the correct amount of biblical tithing. The Old Testament law required multiple tithes. Just one of the Old Testament laws was 10%. If all of them were combined together, the Israelites were required to give nearly 25% of their income. So we need to be careful, okay? Somewhere along the line, most Christian churches have adopted the 10% philosophy. Now, I personally believe it is a... it's an amount of money that most people can relate to, okay? But does does it stop there?
No, because you have to surrender to God.
Exactly. See, we need to surrender our lives to God, and the reality is this. And when I started pastoring, I approached tithing or giving like this. My goal as a pastor is to preach and teach, and get you as the church to have hearts that are tender to God. And my philosophy is this: if your heart is tender to the things of God, you will give what God wants you to give. Now, I have a lot of pastor friends who have built a lot of big buildings, and you know their ministries are huge, and so on and so forth, and they can raise money and they can do that stuff. I don't do that. My philosophy is simple. If God wants something done, He'll put it on our hearts collectively. Right? It's like the remodeling of Unit 111. You know, the preliminary figures that are coming in are expensive. I mean, building material right now is just crazy. What's wire cost now, Brian?
It's up.
Hadn't stopped. And you know, the president of the college that I used to go to said, if God orders it, he can pay for it.
Absolutely.
It's not up to me to pay for it. It's up to him to pay for it. So don't allow money to become something that hinders you from serving God. If anything, money should be an avenue for you to serve God.
Amen.
I mean, there is nothing more enjoyable to me than giving money to missionaries, to people that, you know, people that my wife and I know. I know at Christmas, not this last Christmas, Christmas before last, I think, if my memory serves me correct, we had some friends in North Carolina that their house burned down. And Melanie and I got together and we said, you know what, let's just send them some money. You know, and you know, everybody knows I'm rolling in it. I got a bunch. Yeah, the boat's supposed to be here next week. The jet a couple weeks after that, you know.
You are online, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I better be careful, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, there is nothing in the world that I, you know, Melanie will you know, ask me, you know, well, hey, how much should we give for this? For, you know, the latest one was for Jeremiah. And I'm like, give them whatever you want. I mean, we cannot outgive God.
Amen.
And I have seen God so many times that we have given more than what was quote unquote comfortable, but what we felt God wanted us to give, and God brought it back 100-fold.
Amen.
You know, so you cannot outgive God.
Amen.
Anybody want to say anything before we move on? Yeah.
Well, I think too, giving is, I don't want to say this. It's an honor to be able to do it. And many times people look at it when they're not necessarily led by the Lord as
a duty.
Yes. And when you're looking at it as an honor, it's you're presenting something that you have that can benefit other people. There's a joy that comes with that can't be described.
No, and you're right. This morning, you know, my wife and I write one check a month, and we cover our giving and our faith promise and everything in one check every month. And this morning, as I walked over to the box and dropped it in, there was a joy in my heart that, wow, I get to give this back to God. And that is that joy that God wants us to have. And if we walk over to the tithe box and we're going, you know, just keep it. You know? I mean, if you want it that bad, just keep it. You know, I God doesn't need your money. Now, Grace Baptist Church needs it. Okay, I said, yeah, no, Lawrence's heart stopped. No, we still need to pay our bills, people. Okay, but my point is this: do it with the right heart. Do it with the right heart. That's the key to giving. I don't care if you give 50% of your income. If you don't do it with the right heart, it's worthless.
Right.
Just do it with the right heart. Okay, let's talk about talent. Yes.
Well, I wanted to mention the crowns of glory that God gives to people that give in certain aspects of their life and how God wants you to serve them.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Is the gifts of the crowns, what's that have to do with? Does that have to do with the giving too?
Well, it has. Many of them have to do. I personally believe directly with the heart attitude of the motivation of what you're doing, if that makes sense. You know, if you're, you know, you have the martyr's crown. That's the one that just popped into my head. There have been people who have been martyred for Christ, but has every martyr for Christ done it with the right heart attitude?
Right. Wow,
yeah. We don't know. So,
there's what, about 12 crowns you can receive?
Yeah, there's something like that. Yeah, yeah. There's one special for pastors. So,
right.
And yeah. Yeah.
You're going to get it, right?
I don't know. I don't know. Yes, ma'am. Well, basically, they are given to us at the when we my understanding is when we present ourselves to God, we will be then presented with crowns, and then we will then take those crowns and we will then give them to Jesus Christ. It's just, it is something for us to give to Him. So, I don't know if they're literal crowns that are, you know, that are going to stack on top of her head. I don't know. I've wondered, but yeah, that's pretty much my understanding of it in a nutshell. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's kind of it in a nutshell. Yeah, I have a while back. Yeah. Okay. Talents. You know, And really, when you think about it, all three of these are interconnected: time, treasures, and talents. Because you can't give a talent without giving your time, and even your treasures, right? So if these things are all interconnected. But what does it mean to give your talents, Brian?
I think like strands of love.
Oh, absolutely. There you go. Yeah, something is. You know, I'm not belittling, but something as simple as knitting or crocheting or whatever it is.
We can have you doing it.
Yeah. The last thing I need is something else to do. I'm sorry. Yes.
Worshiping in the church, like playing the piano.
Playing the piano. You know, presenting the Word of God, preaching. Teaching, you know, John and Ashley and the teens are down doing Awana. You know, what are they doing? They're using their talents to teach the Word of God.
Well, and that one's time as well.
And time, yes, and time. That's what I'm saying. Everything's interconnected here. So, when I was in college. I not only took classes, but I also taught a class. The class that I taught was called Basic Maintenance and Repair. And I took all the guys that took my class were all young men. Most of them had never held a screwdriver in their hand, never used a hammer or anything. So I would take them in into my class, and I would teach them a lot of different skill sets, because when a young person goes out to be a pastor and the toilet breaks, guess who they call? They call the pastor.
Particularly in church planning.
Yeah, particularly in church planning. So I taught them how to repair toilets and pull the toilet and replace it. And we worked with electrical. I had a guy that would come in and teach mechanics, basic, you know, engine mechanics and different things. And I mean, we did all kinds of things to just teach some basic skills that they could use when they got out into real life ministry. So what I would do is I would give tests periodically in the class based on some of the classroom instruction that I had. But one of the things that I would make them do is to write out word perfect the verses that I'm getting ready to share with you. And every year, or every semester, excuse me, they hated these verses because they're not easy verses to memorize. But I made them memorize these verses. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, for it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas, Fortunus, and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. This is an incredible passage here. Paul was in a situation where he needed physical help. And these people came to the rescue. They met his needs physically. And what is Paul's response after they've come and they have met his physical needs? It says, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. They have come, they have met my physical needs, and they have been used of God to be a blessing to me. And I used to drill into these young men, particularly the young men, because they, you know, when you're in Bible college, what do they all? They all want to preach. No, there are times where we need to meet the physical needs of people. I can't tell you how many times through the last 40 plus years of my life, God has used my skill set as a building contractor to be a help to people and open the door for me to witness to people, neighbors and friends and family members and just people that I've helped along the way, some I've never met. I just, you know, I walking through Lowe's, I help people all the time. You know, it's obvious when somebody is looking at something and they're like lost. You know what I mean, Brian, right? You know, and you're like, okay, what are you looking for? Okay, let me help you. You know, and no, you don't want this. Come with me. I'll show you what you need. And they're like, man, you're speaking. Do you work here? No, I don't work here. But, it opens the door for me to give them a track sometimes and talk to them about the Lord.
Amen.
Meeting people's physical needs is so important. So important. Now, before I have a question here, before I move on, anybody want to add to that? Yes.
I think also when we have gone through difficult times and we use our experiences to help others or to comfort others, I feel like that is a type of talent also.
Oh, absolutely. Another thought that just popped into my mind. You know, what about your neighbor that just lost a loved one? And coming over with some food, some hot food,
a casserole.
Yeah, it's got to be a casserole, right? No, you know, you bring some food over, or you run up to Walmart and you buy some toilet paper and paper plates and just things that you know that they're going to need. I mean, those are talent. Those are things that you can do to help people when they're struggling. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I was going to say, like, you never know how God's going to ask you to tend to somebody else. We had a neighbor pass away, and we had helped him for years, but then his family members came, and they were clearing out the house and stuff, but he's had this tree that's been dying for years, and it's a huge hazard in our neighborhood, and they saw it, and they're like, now that really needs to come down, and Bryn's like, well, I love cutting down trees, so he went out and cut it down for him, but
You never know. You just need to be willing to do what you can. You know, there have been times that I've run across people all the time, that have needs, and I can't always meet those needs. But I can make phone calls and say, hey, can you come and meet this person's need? And as a church, I can honestly say, I don't know of a single time that I've ever called anyone to say, hey, can you come meet the need of someone? And they've turned me down. Unless, you know, there's been a couple times where just circumstances are circumstances. But for the most part, every time, sure, I'll be right there. What do I need to bring? Praise the Lord. That's what we need. And that is part of being a healthy church. Okay, question for you. I want you to think really hard on this. Which of the three, time, treasure, or talent, is the most important? You can't. They're all equally important. And they're all tied to our heart. That's why they're all interconnected. You know, there will be times that, you know what, in order to meet someone's needs, it may cost you a little bit of time and a little bit of money to meet a need.
You may have to sacrifice certain things.
Right. Sacrifice is definitely going to be part of it sometimes. But that's what God has called us to do. Giving is a matter of the heart. Again, and let me reemphasize this. If God has, and when I say this, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying it in the context of our church in a corporate sense. If God has our hearts meeting the needs of people in our community, will be easy. Or it should be anyway. A lot of times, the biggest obstacle that I have as a pastor, and it's your fault, is I don't find out about the need until it's too late.
Right. Oh yeah. Pride.
Pride. I can't tell you how many times I've heard in the last 16 years, oh, Pastor, you're just so busy. I didn't want to bother you. I've got to come up with a creative comeback for that. I have yet to formulate a good one. But we need each other. Not only do we need to be willing to meet the needs of our community, but we need to be willing to meet the needs of our community, our family. And the hard reality is, if we don't know there's a need, we can't fix it. And that is part of it. And it is all a matter of the heart. Exodus. Huh? Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, hey, go ahead.
Thanks. I was just thinking with our talents, I think that it's really valuable when we share with you or with each other what we might potentially have. Because I know for me, you knowing some of the things that I had been through allowed you to call me and be like, hey, this person could use some of your insight because I know you've been there.
Right.
And so I feel right. Like when we are open with our struggles or our trials or things that we have gone through, and when we don't just keep it all inside,
right.
That not only does it kind of help us to be strengthened and encouraged by our church family, but it also allows you to call on us if you need us.
You know, there's actually a Bible verse for that. And my wife is getting ready to quote it. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I can pop over there.
Okay. Were you going to? Yeah.
Comfort them which are in trouble.
Right. Right. And so basically what is that those verses saying? Those verses are saying this. Hey, there have been times that you have gone through hard things. And now it's time to help other people go through those same hard things.
Well, as God has comforted you,
you know,
he says, then you take that and you help someone else.
Right. And so that they can then in turn help someone else, and they can help someone else, and so on and so forth. So, yes, it is a biblical principle. Let me read this to you here real quick. In Exodus chapter 36, verses 5 and 6, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Can you imagine Lauren standing up here and saying, okay, folks, look, we don't need any more money. Okay? But that's what Moses did. They had so much coming in. They're like, we can't keep it all. Why? Because their hearts were excited about the things of God. Finally, after all the years of struggle with Moses and the children of Israel, they finally got to a place where they were excited about giving. And they gave so much that Moses had to say, okay, stop. Stop. Lauren?
Well, if I could encourage us by saying we need to guard ourselves from a few things, because we all have all three of those things.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Not only do we have time, treasures, and talent, but we need to guard ourselves from getting in the position of, well, I've given my time, so I don't need to give up my treasures. Or I've
right.
given up my treasures, so I don't need to give up, you know, another.
Right. Right.
And the portion that God's given us.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we're going to give an account for all three parts. I knew a man one time that his attitude was, don't bother me. He and his wife came to the church for a little while. They didn't stay very long. When I visited him, his attitude was, hey, look, don't ever ask us to do anything, because we're both very, very busy people. But if you ever need any money, give me a call. Guess what I never did? I never called. Why? Because God doesn't need his money. He needs him.
That's right.
And he needs his heart. I got more here, and I'm out of time. So let's pray, and we'll pick it up next week, okay? Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and for the work that you do in our lives. And Lord, I am so excited about this subject of giving our lives, because that's what it is. This is not about money. It's about our lives. And Lord, I just ask that you just do a mighty work, that you help us to focus on you, that we would give our hearts to you. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.